The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
I can hear you, Howard. Yeah, is this okay for you?
Yeah, not bad at all. All right, just taking a quick look at the SMS line. You're obviously playing Wyoming Wednesday then. That's according to Gimple. They're not liking our music, hey, Nobuchle. And Ronnie says, no, Gimple, that was WTF Wednesday. Wow. Wow, they really, really, you know what? I don't know. Some people just want to be unhappy. I think that must be it. Anyway, Anthony Reich, you're definitely not one of those. Let's talk about the big news in Israel, starting off with the fact that Israel has appointed a new coronavirus commissioner.
Well, this, for some people, has not come as any surprise. The thing that I think is the biggest surprise is that actually anybody's prepared to take the job. You know, they talk about some people as being unemployable and some jobs being impossible to fill. I think this falls into the second category. I'm not sure why anybody would really want to take this job, but there we are. We do have a new coronavirus commission in the form of Professor Nachman Ash. Ronnie Gamzu was appointed in any event, to end his role on the 1st of November. That was always the plan. So this is not being fired ahead of time or anything like that. He took the job in August. He had committed to work as the coronavirus commissioner until the 1st of November. I don't think that he had any intentional desire to extend his role. He will go back to where he was previously, as the head of the hospital, in his previous job. And he will be replaced apparently by Professor Nachman Ash. I do wonder what he was thinking when he took this job, because it seems to be a thankless task. The problem is that the job is being filled by a medical professional, and we'll talk a little bit about where Professor Nachman Ash comes from in his background. And of course, most of the decisions that are being made there are really political. So it was very hard for us to work out exactly how much influence Ronnie Gamzu had when he originally took the job. He came filled with new ideas and with enthusiasm and with a medical point of view. He was trying to approach this from a real medical point of view, which I think is what was expected of him. But very, very quickly got dragged into many political arguments. Unfortunately, he can't be considered to have been very successful, and he will return back to the Sourasky Medical Center, the Ichilov, in Tel Aviv as the CEO. Professor Nachman Ash is currently the professor in health management services systems at Ariel University, and he's also the director of the medicine division of the Maccabi Health Service. I think what's interesting about him is that he has a very strong military background. He was previously
maybe that's what's needed. Maybe that's what's needed to handle this position.
Well,
it's not enough to have
correct.
A medical background.
I think that's correct. I think that, you know, his military experience is very important. He was the chief of the medical corps for 4 years from 2007 to 2011. He was also the head doctor for the elite Sayer Matkal Commando Unit. So he's obviously had some combat experience and some operational experience. And, you know, we wish him well in this role. It's difficult to know exactly where he's coming from. There are some reports that suggest that he's very much in favor of the lockdown approach rather than Professor Gamzu, who was much less in favor of going into hard lockdown and really wanted to try to keep the economy open as much as possible. It's fascinating how different medical professionals have entirely different views on how things should be managed. Professor Ash is very much in favor of the lockdown approach. Interestingly as well that he's married to a doctor as well, so he has it very much running in his family. His wife also is a pediatric oncologist. So I hope that he will be able to bring a little bit more sensible influence to the whole process of decision-making at the coronavirus cabinet level, rather than what we've seen up until now, which has really been a battle of politicians, and political decisions ultimately come out of that rather than real proper medical decisions. And so one hopes that Professor Ash can bring that at least on this occasion.
Yeah, well, I wish him all the luck in the world. I just, as you started off saying, I can't imagine why anybody would actually take this position, because no matter what your expertise, you're not getting everybody to listen. It's so political, unfortunately. The U.S. and Israeli government are in a disagreement over the future of the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Tel Aviv. What is the cause of this agreement?
Well, we're told that back in 1989, there was an agreement that was reached between the U.S. and the Israeli governments by which they agreed that in the event that the U.S. embassy transferred to Jerusalem, free land would be given by the government to the U.S. government for a U.S. embassy in Jerusalem, and that the Tel Aviv embassy, which is on a prime piece of beachfront property, would be given to the government in return for that. There would be effectively a swap of properties. Now that the U.S. embassy has in fact begun the process of relocation to Jerusalem, and in fact a piece of land has been given as promised by the Israeli government to the U.S. government for the purposes of this embassy, the Israeli government expected that they would receive this parcel of land back from the U.S. government, the land upon which the embassy is on right now. But apparently the United States government has different ideas, and they have decided to renege on this agreement and not to return the piece of land back to the Israeli government. Some report suggested that the Israeli government has effectively given up on this. I'm not sure whether that would be correct or not. I mean, I could easily imagine quite a substantial hotel being constructed on that piece of land.
It's an incredible position.
Right there on the beachfront. It's really, really prime location. And I'm sure that there could be a lot of money that would change hands for that piece of land and for some develop on it. But at the moment, apparently the U.S. government is hanging on to the property. I'm not sure what their plan is, whether they would wish to continue to have some sort of a U.S. consulate service ongoing in Tel Aviv. I mean, there will need to be quite a substantial U.S. consular presence in Tel Aviv. There's a lot of work that goes on in the Tel Aviv area around the consular service side. And so even if the embassy itself is based in Jerusalem, there can be no doubt that a consular service will be required in Tel Aviv. But I don't know that they necessarily need that prime piece of beachfront property to do that. So it seems that at least for now that the U.S. government has decided to hang on to this land, as well as the new piece of land that's been given to them in the Arnona neighborhood of Jerusalem. Not a nice conflict, and I'm guessing that the Israeli government probably don't wish to create a big deal out of it right now, but I can certainly see that this is an issue that's going to come up in the future, potentially when there isn't quite as friendly a U.S. administration in place, and there might be a number of conflicts going on and a few disagreements. This is certainly one of those that could be thrown into the mix as being, a reneg on the agreement that was made. So unfortunately, a little piece of not such good feeling between the two governments, but I'm not quite sure if it's been made up for by the recent statements by President Trump. There are five definites, apparently, those were the words, of countries that are looking to enter into normalization agreements with Israel. He mentioned maybe 8 or 9 more with 5 definites. So it's interesting just to keep that in mind.
Yeah, incredible. But what I find interesting is, as good as the relationship is, you know, when it comes to arguing about money, everybody, this is what this embassy, I think, I would imagine, is all about. I hope they're not holding on to it just in case the next American president decides to move the embassy back to Tel Aviv. But
stranger things have happened.
Yeah, exactly right. The other absolutely amazing story is that the Hadassah is looking to set up a hospital in Dubai. How on earth did this idea come about?
Well, I've said this before, and forgive me for repeating it, but I'm absolutely astonished at the speed at which relations have been established with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain in every possible aspect that you could imagine. Flights backwards and forwards, people traveling backwards and forwards. I mean, even in this day and age when international travel is really not a thing, There are a surprising number of people traveling backwards and forwards at the moment between the Emirates and Bahrain and Israel, with all kinds of deals being made. And this is one that involves the Hadassah Hospital, the Hadassah Medical Organization. The Director General, Professor Rothstein, has actually been in Dubai conducting some negotiations with medical organizations in the UAE. And he is looking to try to set up some sort of a representative branch of Hadassah Hospital in Dubai that would potentially bring more than 1,000 doctors and nurses from Israel to work there. And I suppose this comes to some degree from some of the financial stresses that Hadassah has had to go through. It's currently really struggling financially, and it sees the possibility of setting up a branch in Dubai as being very lucrative. Apparently, there is money to be spent on medical services, particularly high quality medical services. People are looking for good quality doctors and nurses and are prepared to pay good money for that. And as I understand it, there is already some sort of a representation of a foreign medical institution in the form of the Cleveland Clinic, which has a branch in Abu Dhabi. And so Hadassah is looking to kind of rival or emulate what the Cleveland Clinic has managed to achieve in Dubai, and to set up this hospital, doctors and nurses, send thousands of Israeli doctors, nurses, and families out there, apparently on quite good terms and conditions. But this would be a very, very substantial financial boost for the Hadassah organization. And it's amazing how quickly it's developed.
Phenomenal. And when you think about the incredible amount of good that is already coming out of this relationship, it is just so spectacular and so heartwarming that, and I was saying earlier, Hamas released some of those, the human rights activists or prisoners that had weakened the revolution by getting involved in peace. And I was just wondering if that type of thing would have happened, if Hamas would have been pressured in a time prior to all of these peace agreements happening in the Middle East, and with Israel not being viewed in the same way as the villain and the demon, and everything that is evil.
I feel very strongly that this has really opened up some sort of a floodgate. You know, the dam walls come down. I read somewhere that Israel had representation offices in Bahrain for something like 11 years before normalization officially officially happened between the two countries. And I think that what we're seeing now is some of that work that has been done previously undercover, below the radar, under the radar, now coming out into the open, things that were potentially happening all along, but coming out now politically acceptable, also influencing other countries, not only Hamas, but indeed many, many other countries, perhaps those 9 or 10 and the 5 definites that President Trump spoke about also being influenced when they see the amount of economic flow that's already taken place just in a space of a few short months. It's really astonishing to see. And as you say, heartwarming and very, very encouraging indeed.
Absolutely. It is 8:01. That is where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning. Same time, same place.